I'm Frank Vaughn. It's May 25th, 2026, and Canada continues to achieve international recognition for all of the wrong reasons. We're going to examine a few of those reasons today, but first, I actually want to do a PSA. I want to try to improve your life, and it relates to Canada, so let's do that. Now, I have to admit, this insight came from a period of sustained rage scrolling through shorts and posts online from new Canadians or temporary foreign workers recommending how they can successfully rip off Canadians, rip off food banks, rip off immigration services, get free stuff at the expense of the Canadian taxpayer. And it just occurred to me in a flash of insight. I'll read the tweet. We live in a country that makes you press one at the start of every phone call to speak to someone in English, only to be connected to someone in India who can't speak English. If you want a proper English speaker, press 2 for French. And I'm not even kidding. It actually works. They speak great English. This is the life hack. This is how I'm going to try and improve your life. That if you want an English speaker in Canada, when you call anybody, press 2 for French and you will get impeccable English. Just say you accidentally pressed the wrong button. They won't hang up on you. They will service you in English, and 99% of the time, they will speak English that you understand. We're a country that cares so much about English and French that we've enshrined it in many laws, that Quebec has language laws and has used their notwithstanding clause access to make sure that they have discriminatory language practices, but we outsource that language and its function to third world countries. It's pretty brutal. But if you want to be connected to Quebec to get an English speaker, you can do that. Now, I'm not sure this is going to improve your life, but it might make it more secure, and it's something that you should think about. You know all that ID verification nonsense we've gotten used to for the last 10 or 20 years? For instance, when you call up telephone banking, for those of you who have ever had to do that, I know I have, and you get signed up for voice verification. Voice verification is out of date because AI can spoof your voice. With a very short clip of your voice, AI can mimic you and get you cleared with your bank so that somebody with access to your bank card number can now call up the bank and make transactions with your bank account based on just your voice. You might want to consider, it's up to you, calling up your bank and making sure you are not signed up for voice verification because it is a great big glaring security hole now. The other thing is, as it says on screen, hey, chat, make me a fake ID. AI can make fake IDs. AI can generate those handy dandy pictures. For those of you who have ever used a trading app or have ever traded crypto or traded stocks through an app, you have those verifications where you hold your ID and you write today's date on a piece of paper and it's got your face. AI can spoof that. Sure, they're developing tools and rolling them out to try and identify AI generated pictures. But as time goes by, we're not talking about a long time, things are just going to get more sophisticated. Now, do you know what works? I had a friend recently sign up for whatever it's called. It's like a One Canada login for all your services with Canada. It actually doesn't work for the services that they were trying to deal with. But in order to finish the registration process, the government of Canada had to physically mail a piece of paper with a confirmation code on it. And the person said, this is really backwards. And I actually said, you know what? I don't think it is backwards anymore. It was backwards 5 years ago, but now it's forward thinking. Because you can't spoof a piece of paper coming from one address to another address if the mail system is secure. The other thing that works is a good old-fashioned 10 to 12 characters at a minimum, alpha, numeric, symbolic, with a mix of caps or capital letters and small letters, lowercase letters. A good one that's 10 to 12 characters long is still far more secure than just about any of the nonsense anybody's ever rolled out. A password that lives in your head, maybe you've got it written down, hidden somewhere that no one's ever going to find. That works too. Even in the age of quantum computing, if there is a login limit attempt on a website, quantum computing can't break that. So I just think that it might be worth considering doing things the way that you used to do them 10 or 20 years ago, because AI is changing the game. Of course, to keep your login credentials safe, you're going to have to make sure that you have a secure computer and a secure phone. That's why I recommend this. No, I'm just kidding. There's no sponsorships. But you should maybe consider having a paid antivirus service. If you're not that savvy, it will save you from a number of problems. Internet security services, I'm not going to name which one I use, but I do use one. I do pay for it every single year, and it's saved me from some problems. And I mean, I'm a clean user. I'm not clicking on sketchy links. I'm not visiting all the various red tubes and porn hubs on the internet. But, and I'm not returning emails to Nigerian scammers. So, you know, my risk profile is somewhat less. But even my website, login limit attempts on my website is pretty much saving my bacon right now. I blocked 150 IP addresses from Israel just yesterday. And I mean, they're still trying to log into my website. They'll never do it. They'll never get in. They won't successfully get in because of the way it's set up. And it doesn't stop people from trying. So you got to keep your devices secure and you have to have good old fashioned credentials. Now let's move on to the actual news. Hopefully you're still with me. You got to check this out. This is brutal. This is from Mario Nafal. And once again, this is why I say Canada is getting international attention for all of the wrong reasons. The world is looking at us as a canary in the coal mine, as a warning of what not to do. The only people who think Canada is at the bleeding edge of freedom and a wonderful society where everybody's living in harmony are Canadians themselves that have been hypnotized by the big red machine. Give this a listen.
Yeah. Okay.
And this is Dr. Emery. He's a resident psychiatrist, senior resident. He's on a rotation with the CAR 87. We're part of a program that includes Vancouver Coastal Health and the Vancouver Police. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And what we do is we go to people when there's different reasons that come up. Every case is a little different, and we go to people to see them where they are. Especially if there's been issues with trying to find them and talk to them. So in your case, I think you were certified under the Mental Health Act just, I don't know how long ago, but like maybe 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago. Were you aware of that? Dr. Taylor saw you in a cafe. She didn't certify you. I think you filmed part of it. And then she spoke with your family, got some more information, and you know, you're gonna have to turn that off.
So just one sec. What the officer just told me is that you know, you and I can set up a meeting and we can chat then. So why don't we do that, okay?
Yeah.
I'm not turning the camera off. I have a legal right to keep the camera on. If you don't want to make the appointment now, we can do it at another time. But you know, that's what the officer just asked that we do. So why don't we do that?
So I'm going to certify you under the Mental Health Act. We're going to bring you to a hospital, do testing on you. And you're going to talk to a psychiatrist in a controlled environment because we don't believe that you're going to attend an appointment.
I've never been given a chance to attend an appointment.
So he's certified. He's certified.
I've never been given a chance to attend an appointment.
Okay.
What is going on? I was never given a psych eval or nothing. He just looked at me and said, "You're certified."
Yeah. Okay. So I don't know why, but it's up to the doctor. So
now, I don't know if you caught all of the pertinent problems in that clip, but as a result of an interaction, a single interaction in a cafe where nothing illegal was done, this person filmed that interaction. The interaction was with a doctor. I'm assuming it was random. It certainly sounds random. Maybe it wasn't so random. I don't know all the circumstances. But based on an interaction where nothing illegal transpired, outside of a professional context, a doctor certified this person, I don't know what the legal term is, but as a mental health issue, essentially. So without a judge, which you'll find in Canada, more and more decisions are being made without the judiciary. So when it comes to the federal government claiming the power to kick you off the internet, can you imagine having no internet access? You can't even get into your bank account anymore. You're not allowed on the internet. A minister will be able to order that without any oversight by the judiciary. Kind of crazy. And that's like the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot of worrying things going on when it comes to censorship and control of speech and control of thought, control of access, debanking, trying to codify the thing that they tried during the Emergencies Act when they were breaking up the Freedom Convoy. They ordered the banks to debank people. The banks complied. And I don't want people to forget this. The courts ruled that there was no legal basis for debanking. Nothing happened to your politicians. It all just happened. Nobody had any liability. There was never any justice for the people who were wrongly targeted. And it's a pretty wild thing. But this guy, I don't have to know all the circumstances. Maybe he's going through something. Maybe he doesn't want to be contacted. Maybe he's having a dispute with his family. A lot of people don't get along with their family. He certainly seems clean. He certainly seems to have gotten up in the morning, put on a beautiful shirt, made his hair beautiful. I don't know where he's going. I don't know what he's doing. He's pulled over on the side of the road, and he's now going to be detained, taken to a hospital, and assessed without ever breaking a law. On the word of a doctor he interacted with at a cafe, the police are going to enforce an order upon him that wasn't issued by a judge. It's just, it's so wild to me how far Canada has fallen, and yet the government that has been responsible for that fall is still seen as massively popular by the public. The same government that had seen its support, its popular support, when Justin Trudeau was still prime minister, this government that we have now saw its support fall to about 20%. It was going to be a wipeout. Swapped out Justin Trudeau for Mark Carney, the king's man, comes here to manage this country in a certain direction. I don't know where it's all going to end. Some days it seems like he's managing into a perfect direction, to be integrated into the United States, to become part of a North American whole, all while he claims rhetorically to be saving Canada. Other times, it seems he's preparing to hand us off to China. It's a really hard situation to read, but we know where Carney's money is. They swap out Justin Trudeau for this guy, parachute him in, and all of a sudden, the government that's done this to Canada is widely popular. I covered in my last video how one of the big things that CBC, the state-funded media, billions of dollars have gone into the CBC, is focused on is making sure that people with mental health conditions, could be seasonal depression, could be addiction. Remember, there was a big farcus over the last 10, 20 years about making drug addiction a mental health issue. Well, now they want to make sure that people with mental health issues can engage in government-sponsored self-deletion. This is Canada now in 2026. And if you look at the legislative agenda, it's only set to get a lot worse. Now, I know we've talked about Bill C-22 on this channel. We've talked about a number of bills that are going to pass because the Liberals have created their majority. Mark Carney, as they've packaged him, the savior of Canada, who is not here to save Canada. He's here to manage it in a certain direction for the class of people he represents. I miss the days when liberals and people on the left understood that central bankers and people who represent the interests of international conglomerates were screwing the country. I remember a time when we protested the multilateral agreement on investments. I remember a time when the Trans-Pacific Partnership was seen as a bad thing. I remember those days. Now the left collectively celebrates the enthronement of a central banker who ran not just one central bank, but ran two central banks, and defending that decision by saying, well, Stephen Harper appointed him to our central bank, as if they forgot that Stephen Harper is their villain. Huh, it's crazy. What is Bill C-22? Proposed legislation, it's going to pass. It's going to pass. The Liberals control everything. The big red machine is ensconced. It's going to pass. Could allow police to invade your privacy. Now, again, I've complained about this before, but when you write an article, you're supposed to put the most important information at the top of the article. But in my approximation, you have to scroll all the way down to the bottom to find out what the problem is. Under what do critics say? It's not so much what critics say. It's what the legislation will do. And again, this is the Toronto Sun. They're giving you the best version of mainstream news you're probably going to get. Michael Geist, a law professor at the University of Ottawa, told the Standing Committee on Public Safety and National Security last week that Bill C-22 would require service providers to keep subscriber metadata on file for up to a year, regardless of suspicion. On a mobile network, that data includes the cell towers each phone connects to. Retained at scale, the aggregate amounts to a comprehensive surveillance map of every, I'm not even going to say virtually every Canadian, I'm going to say every Canadian and anybody that visits the country, where and when they go and who they interact with. You haven't done anything wrong, but every single place you visit will be mapped and stored and will become a virtual treasure trove for anybody that can hack it. Now, you might say, well, you can't worry about hackers. You can't live your life around it. Well, companies are leaky. Your email, there's a good chance your email address and your information is for sale right now. If you haven't managed it properly, and no, I'm not going to try and pitch you on some VPN company. It's out there. They leak all the time. The government of Canada, we just settled. I think I got it right here, actually. Canadian government pays $8.7 million to settle data breach class action involving CRA accounts. Not the first time hackers targeted online government accounts largely to apply for fraudulent COVID-19 benefits. I remember when the COVID-19 benefits came out, I said, this is going to be a nightmare for the CRA. That even if you hate the Canada Revenue Agency, you should spare a bit of compassion in your heart for them, because Trudeau is going to roll out this legislation, some nice, neat legislation, and say, give money to everybody, free money for all. And then they're going to be responsible for cleaning up the mess after the fact. They had to change their tax forms. They have to go and chase hundreds of thousands of people to get back fraudulent benefits. I knew of people who were collecting disability, collecting COVID-19 benefits, and getting the business loans. And all that money was coming to them, and they were just doing drugs with it, really. They blew it all on narcotics. You're never going to get a dime of it back because they're broke. And it's wild. We're going to now say that we need to trust not just the government, but all of these companies with all of your metadata without any suspicion that you've done anything wrong. Continuing, Geist, who is the Canada Research Chair in Internet and E-Commerce Law at the University, said this type of data retention was struck down by the EU Court of Justice in the Digital Rights Ireland case. The Calgary-based Justice Center for Constitutional Freedoms also submitted a brief to the committee opposing Bill C-22. Unfortunately, the Justice Center they do such good work, but the courts don't like them very much due to privacy concerns. The bill would create a new production order allowing police to obtain detailed subscriber information, including names, addresses, account details, device identifiers, and information about the types of services that a person receives, based on a standard of reasonable suspicion rather than the higher constitutional standard of reasonable grounds to believe. It's wild how big a transition Canada is going through, and the herd, and that's what it is. It's a herd of ignorant lemmings who back the Liberal Party no matter what they do, are just marching lockstep. I don't know if it's because everybody's on Adderall. I don't know if it's because everybody's on SSRIs. I don't know if it's because we've legalized weed and everybody's just too stoned. I'm not really sure what the problem is. But the Canadian public seems to be okay giving control of the entire nation to a central banker while he is passing bills that will create some of the most draconian laws, will change the landscape in Canada to become one of the most draconian places to live in the world, at the same time as he's gutting your institutions, cutting the public service by 15%, running $100 billion deficits. Well, at the same time, where's this? We can't even do radar, right? Weather experts concerned about public safety as Environment Canada disbands radar's research team. Research cuts coincide with Environment Canada investing in AI forecasting. Do you feel, in this day and age, that artificial intelligence is going to be able to generate you a decent forecast? Now, I just went off on a tirade about AI and government, but I don't want to get too distracted in this video from what I really want to talk about, and that is that the government is spending more money than it ever has before. It's running deficits, which won't be as high as they would have been because Trump has given, vis-a-vis Alberta and their oil, he has given the Canadian government a gift that even though they want to keep their boot on Alberta's neck and on Saskatchewan's neck, the Midwest in this country, they want to keep their boot on our neck and make sure that we can't develop, they're more than happy to take the increased revenue generation from the high oil prices that President Trump has delivered to the world. If you have paid $1.80 or $2 a liter for gas in Canada, you can thank Trump more than you can thank the Canadian government at this time. That's not something I thought I would say in Trump's second term, but I digress. Pentagon doubles down, big bad Americans, on Canada, rebuke with demand for NATO spending roadmap, F-35 decision. Now, every time Mark Carney says something about strengthening the Canadian military, the media just carries it as though it's true. But the fact is, even with more spending and all the talk, this is reality. Canadian military to shutter Nanisivik naval facility in the Arctic. Our presence in the Arctic is getting smaller, not greater. There's no urgency here. We're talking to Norway, but we're not really building anything. And this is really worrying. Critical equipment shortages. Why the Canadian Armed Forces is asking some staff to return field gear. We don't have rucksacks. We don't have uniforms. We don't have the basics. This builds on something I've covered before, where we send our people to military exercises in foreign countries and they have to run around in the woods like little kids yelling bang to simulate gunshots because we can't afford to provide them with blank ammo. It's in such a shambles. There's rainbow sidewalks on every single base, but we don't have adequate uniforms. Why aren't these rainbow uniforms? Isn't modern camo supposed to be rainbows? Like, shouldn't we update that? Maybe the Canadian forces can look at that next. This is another one I saw. U.S. spends $40 million to rebuild Cold War-era Arctic radar for missile low-flying threats. Where are those radar facilities? They're in our country. The USAF plans to rebuild deteriorating ANFPS-124 radar infrastructure exposed to more than three decades of extreme Arctic weather. It's on Canadian soil. It's on our sovereign territory. The Americans are going to do it. And they just awarded the contract to an American company. Have you heard the federal government talk about this at any level? Has it received anything but passing attention? So, back to the Pentagon, doubling down on Canada rebuke. We are not a serious country. We haven't been a serious country for a long time. We have denuded our military. We've turned it into a dogma generating. Go on Google. Look up Canadian military rainbow flags. You will be inundated with ideological training, not military training. You can also look up Canadian forces physical standards and you'll understand that we have an out-of-shape military. Some of these people that are in the military and in active duty are in worse shape than I am. And my shape is getting better. I'm not sure their shape is getting better. Canada has never been weaker. We lack the ability to do basic defense work on our own soil. We likely, as we currently sit, couldn't even manage civil disorder in our own cities, which is why they have opened the military up to foreign-trained military personnel from places like India and Pakistan and any other nation in the world to come here, get permanent residency, and serve in our military. They want to create a much expanded military, but they're not going to be recruiting Canadians to do it because a lot of Canadians don't want to recruit themselves. They don't want to volunteer themselves for the Canadian military because they don't want to fight for rainbow ideologies. They don't want to fight for a nation that's robbing them blind. They don't want to fight for a nation that holds the best elements of that nation, the most productive elements of that nation, the places that pay the lion's share cost for the socialism. They don't want to fight for a nation that holds them down, that robs them at the same time as it tells them they're not allowed to prosper and be productive. Canada's just it's kind of nightmare fuel, but I'm not going to get into it too much today. But there's some stuff going on in the Middle East. I'll try and talk about it a little bit more tomorrow. Well, you know, it's Groundhog Day. It's been Groundhog Day for weeks and weeks and weeks. Trump comes out. He says a peace deal is imminent. Then it's not. The shorts make money. Then he comes out and he does a bunch of saber rattling. The oil prices shoot up. A bunch of longs make money. All of this insider trading is going on. That clearly there are people making trades, taking options, putting puts, that have insider knowledge as to what the president's going to say. Literally minutes before he says something, there's all these trades put into the system. And right now there's a negotiation going on for some kind of deal. And we'll see if it actually turns into anything. Because the Iranian side, in spite of the president, has a lot of cards. The president says there's an ironclad blockade. Nothing's passing through. Couldn't be further from the truth. There's ships getting through. None of them are coming to Europe. They're going to Pakistan. They're going to China. This idea that this whole thing is choking off the Chinese. Meanwhile, the Chinese are signing contracts and making bank all over the world. Their hand only gets stronger. And I don't want to examine. I want to save that because I want to do an actual report on that. But the best case scenario here, and this is pertinent to Canadians, is Donald Trump admits defeat, even if he doesn't admit it. The deal will be the proof. Whatever's in that deal, however it gets signed, however it gets fleshed out, if there is to be one, we will take it on this channel, and we will put it right beside the JCPOA, and we will compare. Because even though I haven't talked about it in the past, the JCPOA that everybody lambasts and criticizes for pallets of cash, even though the pallets of cash were frozen Iranian assets that were given back because they complied with the JCPOA, because they were compliant right up until 2018 when they got kicked out, they were limited to 3% enrichment. There were inspectors all over Iran. They had a civilian nuclear program. They were not on the way to a nuclear weapon. That's always been a myth that Netanyahu and Trump and other politicians in the United States have constantly repeated. The JCPOA, in fact, might have been one of the better things that the Obama administration actually did. And it's going to be interesting to see if the Trump deal, if there is to be one, because I'm still not confident there will be one, how it compares on a point-by-point basis. Like, I'm prepared to go through both and compare them. But all of that aside, if there's a deal, peace breaks out tomorrow, the Strait of Hormuz goes back to full operation, it won't go back to full right away, but the logjam begins to clear, and in a year and a half to 2 years' time, some semblance of normalcy is achieved again. I mean, there's certain things that are really worrying. Crops not getting put in the ground because of high gas prices. I mean, I've talked to a couple farmers now specifically that farm acreages, like large amounts, that just aren't planting this year at all. They're just going to give it a skip because they're looking at their spreadsheet. The numbers don't make any sense to them, so they're not planting at all. And on an individual basis, on a case-by-case basis, each farm is going to make those decisions, but they're going to feed into a hole. Actually, they're not going to feed into a hole. There's going to be a lack of feed into the hole, which is going to create rising prices. If peace breaks out tomorrow, Trump comes home, he declares victory. He's going to be talking about how big a win it is. He's going to be doing all this stuff. But the price rises are going to, the price factor is going to keep revealing itself as we move through the summer, into the fall, into the winter. We're only at the beginning. Even if everything stops, we're only at the beginning of troubles. He's going to be hungry for victories. He wants another Venezuela in Cuba. We are now 1 month away from the USMCA expiring. I'm not hearing anything about it. The most important trade agreement for us as Canadians is the one that gives us access to the market of 340 million souls right beside us. It's very important. I'm not hearing much about it. If Trump gets himself out of this, even if he takes the L, he's going to be coming home looking for a win. And he's going to be looking north to Canada for one of those wins. You won't, and this is what I anticipate. If there is a deal, if there is something that lasts for the rest of the summer into the fall, instantaneously, the media machine in the United States is going to focus back on domestic issues and try and save the Republicans come November, because they're in big trouble and a lot of people are ignoring that. The high gas prices are going to stick. They're not going to just go away. It's going to be an interesting time. There's going to be some shortages. But a hungry Trump looking for wins is going to see Canada as low-hanging fruit. And I am still not so sure that Mark Carney is setting us up to get plucked. And I think that's something everybody should think about. I oscillate back and forth, but there's a lot of reasons to think that Mark Carney is not working in Canadian interests and not necessarily working British interest, that there might be some kind of deal. I mean, how many visits has Trump had with the king? And if people think the king is not important to Canada, he's our head of state, the governor general, his representative, even if appointed by parliament, has far more power. The Privy Council, which most people don't understand, has far more power than anybody you elect. The people you elect, they're filtered down to automatons by the time you get to cast your ballot. And we run around pretending we live in a vaunted democracy. We are in way worse position. We have way less say than the Americans do with their constitution, even with the problems that they have in terms of representation. Canada's in a far worse boat. Is it such a stretch to think, with Mark Carney being sent here, with his close relationship with the king and Prince Andrew and all the different ties, that there's some sort of coordination, some sort of understanding that leads to some kind of integration with the United States through the vehicle of Mark Carney as opposed to saving us? He declares that he's saving us, but he's really working towards this objective. If you examine things with a critical eye, you'll realize he's not strengthening our position. As he talks about strength, we get weaker and weaker and weaker. And when Trump's eyes are done with Iran, they're going to be looking for something else. And I think Canada is up next.